Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, Dallas.
Before we start tonight, I had a request that we hug each other. That seems to be the favorite thing. So let's hug each other.
All right. All right.
When did this start?
Oh,
yeah.
He missed a lot.
That should
be a couple
times.
We could have just everybody stay where they are and go around.
That's your name?
Thank you.
I'm here.
Well, now I notice now that we have been doing this off and on, the hugging. Oh, look.
Get him.
Oh. We missed him. Too late. Everyone is doing it better. You're not embarrassed by it. And I have seen no A-frame hugs, which I do not like A-frame hugs. You know, when you hug somebody, it's all right for the genitals to touch each other. It does not mean that something is going to happen. You know? The reason for hugging, not only does it immediately change the atmosphere in any room, we as human beings need that tactile touch. We need that. I have a friend, Joyce Reynolds. She's considered a motivator of one or a thousand. She maintains that you need 5 hugs a day for growth, 3 just for maintenance. So when you see somebody, hug people. We don't hug people enough. So many people feel lonely, whether they say that or not. And so many people go through life without ever touching somebody. They have discovered in rest homes, I call them rest homes, I don't know what to call them now, that older people do not get touched enough. And when they start to touch the older people, they respond. Their health gets better. Everything gets better. I'll tell you one little thing, and I had a picture of it at one time, and I'm looking for it. It was the cutest thing. It was 2 premature babies in an incubator, and they were together, and the one had its arm over the other one, at first, they had them separated. And neither of the babies were doing well. And some nurse said, I think we ought to put them together. They were used to being together. As soon as they put them together, the one reached over and hugged the other one. And their heartbeat changed, their respiration changed, and they started to respond and grow. So, touching is a wonderful thing to do for yourself and for other people. Okay? So, with that said, now you know why we hug, and we can do it any time that you want, and you don't have to wait for me to say it. Just come in and start hugging people. You know. With that said, I have great news for you tonight. This universe, this thing that we call God, would be incomplete without each and every one of us. That is the way it works. You are needed. You are very important. Please keep that in mind. All right? Now, with that said, we have one new person in the class tonight, and you know that this is a metaphysical teaching.
I don't know anything about the class.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you jumped up and started to hug people. So we know you're not timid, shy, and bashful, right? Okay. It's a metaphysical teaching. What we do here is we talk a great deal about the universe and a great deal about God. But the God I talk about is not the God that you meet in churches. That is God also. But that God, because you meet that God in a church, is limited. It is limited by the church doctrines. It is limited by the rituals that the church has. I'm talking about a much bigger God than a church God, although they are one in the same. But we go further than that, okay? Mm-hmm. And we use this power to bring into our lives, to manifest what we want in our lives. Because our purpose here is to prove the presence of God. That's what we are here for. And when I say to prove the presence of God, to prove that you can create something on your own, because each and every one of us is a creator, you see? And we also know that the creator and the creation are one and the same thing. So we make a statement, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is, because God is everything. We believe, or I believe, there is nothing outside of God. There is only God. So everything you see, the table, the chair you're sitting on, the walls, everything is God. It's not God and the table. See, it's God as the table. When you look at me, you see Dallas as God. I see you as God. Because there's nothing else to see. If you're seeing anything different, you have caused separation. And you're judging by appearances. You're judging by earthly appearances. Because the mind that we have, the ego part of our mind, always wants to keep us separated. And it always judges by appearances. And we say, oh, they are separate. I can see that with my eyes. But you have to remember that your eyes, a sense that we have, the senses, the five senses, we have more than five senses, by the way, we just don't use them. But the five human senses that we talk about are always faulty. They're always faulty. They never tell you the complete story, the complete truth, or they never give you the complete picture of anything. Your eyes, you can prove that if you look down a railroad track the rails come together, do they not? Well, you know that's a doubt, not lie. There, your eye just lied to you. So that that is what we are learning here. We are learning to think differently so that we can have a completely different life experience than most people have. Okay, does that make sense? Any questions?
That's great. I would definitely like to think differently.
Yes, you will. I'm going to have Andy read something that came across the thing, because I had, and I'll tell you the story, I had my second cataract operation on Monday on my left eye. And today I had the bandage removed. The eye's doing fine. You just can't see through it at the present. I mean, I can see through it, but it's not clear yet. But I'll tell you the story about getting this eye done. The other eye is all right. It developed a wrinkle, if you can imagine, but they took that wrinkle out. So I'm at the, knowing what's going on at the doctor's, they get me all ready. They have, I'm on this bed, and, you know, they keep putting eye drops in. They want to do this, they want to do that. And he says, now I'm going to, they had already put an intravenous thing in here, and he says, I'm going to give you some sedative, I think he called it. Oh my God, hurt. I just screamed. Of course, when I screamed, I'm in a room with other people, right? So they didn't want other people to hear me. Guess what they do? They close the curtain. You know. So then I'm there waiting for this, whatever they're waiting for, and then they direct me into the operating room, and they strap you all down, tape you all down, hook you up to all these things so that I can monitor what's going on. So the man says to me, I'll give you another one of those sedatives. He said, you seem to be nervous. I said, I'm not nervous at all. I'm apprehensive, but I'm not nervous. And no, you are not giving me another one of those shots. I said, that hurt like hell, and I'm not doing it. He said, okay, just try to rest. Well, the doctor, I guess, was running a couple minutes behind, so I thought, well, I'm here resting. I might as well go under. Now, when I say go under, that means I just go down to a very low level and I just leave. So I was doing this process, and the nurse screamed, oh my God, what's going on? Because I guess they can monitor what's going on the machines. She comes running over and under. Sir, sir! She said, would you breathe? Would you please breathe? She said. So I said, oh yeah, I can do that. So I started, she said, oh, thank God. Apparently they thought something had happened to me, you know. But I am able, over the years I have been able, I can slow my breathing down, I can slow my heart rate down, I can slow all that down. So when they say, oh, you're nervous, I say, no, I can correct that. Just wait, give me a minute, and I'll correct all that. But that, I shouldn't have probably done it when I when I had all these things taped up to me. So anyway, my eye is all right, but Andy will read this. This came across, what do you call that, the internet? This came across the internet. So you read that.
Nathan had asked me the question about the red envelopes, which are here. Everybody here, except maybe the new lady, doesn't know about that. We have a little red envelope, which you use to put money away in to create abundance for yourself. The idea is that at the end of the day, you open your wallet and take a small, odd amount out and stow it away in the red envelope. Example. If you have a $5 bill and seven $1 bills, you might put two ones in the red envelope. If you have a 20, one five, and four $1 bills, you might put the five in or the four ones or however much you feel comfortable doing. If you have a 20, 10, two fives, and three ones, you might sock a five away or three ones. There's no hard or fast rule, but the idea is you won't miss and you won't spend what's not in your wallet. We seem to live as well during the day on $20 as $23, and putting these extra dollars in the red envelope creates a rainy day fund. Metaphysically, I think it does many wonderful things. Here are a few. It makes you conscious of your abundance in your wallet, and you can say to yourself, oh, look, this is me doing an impersonation of Dallas. Oh, look, I'm so abundant I can take this extra money and put it in my red envelope. It keeps you organized, meaning decluttered in your wallet, which creates abundance. It gives you an additional pocket of savings, meaning abundance. Different than other savings accounts, this one can be used as a rainy day fund or for other special projects. And when you look in your red envelope, after a while, you will feel really abundant if you continually add to it and let it grow. It's also good to keep in mind regarding spending the affirmation, my income is greater than my outgo, and always live within one's means. It is a good question, and one I'm glad you helped me revisit.
With that, I don't know who got this, but I have to get one. And the reason why I wanted Andy to read this, I think this is wonderful, and it explains the little red envelope. But there is a blaring error on this. Did anyone get the blaring error?
The rainy day thing.
Yes. You cannot save for a rainy day. You have to save for an opportunity day. If you save for a rainy day, that's what you're going to get. So you have to take the rainy day out of that.
Who wrote that, Dallas?
I don't know. Who wrote this? Who wrote this?
I did.
He wrote it. All right.
Well, you have an opinion that a rainy day is bad. What if I have an opinion that a rainy day is good?
But you don't. Yes, we never say for a rainy day. So use your little red envelope. It will work every time. How are you? And for the people who don't have a red envelope tonight, I brought red envelopes with me so that you can use this. While we're on that subject, how many people are still writing on their checks, God bless and multiply this money quickly?
On the check? As you pay something?
Yes, on the memo, but you just write the letters.
I've never heard this.
See, that's why I brought them up.
Okay, what do we do again?
Well, I have to get them. You write, God bless and multiply this money quickly. It comes out GBAMTMO. Of Q. Q. Yeah. I started to do this 30 years ago. And I have never run out of money since I started this. I've run out of job. I've run out of a lot of things, but I've never run out of money.
You run out of sugar?
Pardon? So use it. It's a tool. It's a technique that you use to discipline your own mind. That is what we are here to do, is to learn to use the mind. Everyone has one. Very few people use them. Most people in the world, what we call the world, are in a psychic sleep, and many times are called the walking dead because they have never come to life. They look like they have life. They move like they have life, but they do not have life. That is why we come to these classes, to figure out how to have life and how to have it more abundantly. Tonight's topic is a new look at life, a new look at our life, a new look at life itself. And how do we go about that? Well, back to this eye thing. When the lady that took me, Nancy, is 79 years old. On the way home, I said to her, we were talking about religion and so forth, and I said, I just think that it's awful that there's so many religions and they're all fighting with each other. when there's only one God and one thinks their God's better than the other God, I said, this cannot be. She says to me, well, it will always be that way, Dallas. Mm-hmm. My friend Beverly, who's 83, would immediately sit down, do a treatment, visualize, and change that. This is one I hate to say about Nancy and people like that. I love Nancy, by the way. She has those, but she lives in the world. Sometimes, for the consciousness of the world to change, the old guard must die out. And then we must not pick up their ideas and keep using them. The idea that there will always be war. Why must there always be war? We get so used to that idea that we allow it to happen. So tonight we're going to talk about a universe and about a God. Now, when I say universe and God, what comes into people's minds? You know, it has to be the universe as God. So when I use the word universe or God, they're interchangeable. They're interchangeable. So when I say the universe wants something for you, I'm saying that God wants something for you. So tonight I'm going to tell you that this universe that we live in, we participate in. This God that we have, we participate in God also. When I say we participate in it, that means that we are creating the reality that we see. That's, excuse me, participating with the universe or participating with God. Many people will go so far as to say that we create our own soul, why we are here on this plane of action. So in order to grasp a new idea of what life is, we have to give up the other ideas and the other belief systems. So instead of thinking that your life only started when you were born on this plane of action and ended when you died, is a very small concept of what life really is. You see? First of all, try to get it out of your mind the idea that there's anything called death. Death is a trick of the ego. The ego wants to tell you that you'll die. And then, of course, you see people doing that, and you see them, they're no longer, their body deteriorates, all this stuff happens, and you say, well, they're gone. Well, they're not gone. The body is gone. The essence that you are remains. It always was. It always will be. So then you look at that and you have to say, well, I've always been around. And if you want to go into believing in reincarnation, please feel free to do that. I have nothing against that whatsoever. There are a lot of documented cases of that. So there is that possibility. Why would there be that possibility? Because all things are possible. All things are possible. You see, the outcome to anything is the choice that you make. Is the choice that you make. When people say there's only one way, there's only one road to enlightenment or to heaven or whatever you want to call it, that cannot be. There are many paths. that you can pick to go where you want to go. But you are the one that has to realize that you're doing that, that you chose that. And you chose that at a very deep subconscious level, at a psychic level that you're not aware of. Excuse me. That you're not aware of. You're creating the circumstances in your life so that you can learn something from that circumstance. Every person that is in your life, you have created that person to learn something from that person, to add something to you. We do this all the time, but we think that we don't. We think that our life is haphazard. Our life is not haphazard. Stop thinking that it is. Start telling yourself how absolutely powerful you are. That you are a creator and you know how to create something. And you can create your own life. And you can change your own life. This idea of manifesting something, I've told you before, anything that you want is already here, it's already done. You just can't see it because you're judging with a different mind, with a different eye, you're looking at things. You have to learn to look at things differently. Then you will see that it's already done. So all the stuff that's here on this plane of action is made from the same stuff. You know, does everyone here realize that we are all fashioned from the same stuff as the stars? There's nothing else out there. The same elements, the same thing, all this stuff. So we just rearrange things to get what we want. We're just rearranging things. So this new look at life is to see how powerful you are and to realize that this mind that you do have can do something for you. It can bring things into your life. And you do not have to know how that is done. You just have to know that that's the way it works. No one knows how we can eat a carrot. And that carrot is transmuted into a fingernail. It has changed from a carrot to a fingernail. We believe that, don't we? How else? Otherwise, what would be hanging from me? A carrot. I'd have carrots. But I have fingers and fingernails. Because my body knows how to take what I put into it and transmute it into something else. Now here is what to remember. Your mind knows how to do that for you, the same as your body or your stomach knows how to do it. You have a thought. That thought will manifest itself, will transmute from what you're thinking in your head to actual reality, physical, material reality. It does it all the time. You know that it does it all the time. You hit it every once in a while when you say, aha, goodness gracious, that did happen. And then you immediately forget that that happened. And you forget that you have that power. How many people here can manifest a parking space? If you can manifest a parking space, you can do anything. It's the same power. There is not a parking space God. It's the same power doing that. The Bible makes mention of the idea that this thing that we call God does not know the difference between big and small. Only we know that. So we say in our mind, well, it's easier for God to create an ant than it is to create a big elephant. No difference. Why is there no difference? There's only one life. The ant has the exact same life as the elephant. The appearance is that it's much bigger. In your mind, you say, okay, I may be able to manifest $10. But can I manifest $1,000? Oh, that looks pretty big. That's pretty big. The universe doesn't know the difference. If you want $10, you can have $10. If you want $1,000, you can have $1,000. The universe doesn't know the difference. Your mind knows the difference. So tell your mind not to do that to you. Use your mind. Use your thinking power. Use your thoughts wisely. Make them do something for you. Learn to visualize what you want. When you can see what you want, you will have what you want. When you can feel, taste, and smell what you want, you will have it. There's a Buddhist saying. Depending on how hungry you are, a loaf of bread will appear. Depending on how hungry you are, a loaf of bread will appear. You have to want it, and you have to really want it, and you have to convince your mind that you really want it. And when you are able to do that, so that your mind does not give you any negations whatsoever, bingo, it'll be in front of you. It'll be in front of you. So think of yourself as how powerful you really are. And know that you do have a mind, and it's a good mind. And the mind that you're using to transmute or to manifest something is not the intelligent mind. If you start dealing with intelligence, it'll talk you out of it. It'll talk you right out of it. It'll say, well, that's a bunch of hooey. Don't use your intelligent mind. What mind do you think we're going to use then? We're going to use the mind that's throughout our entire body. And we're going to use that small mind that's located in our heart. Because we want to get this heart and this head in what's called entrainment with each other. So eventually, we will be listening to our heart and not to our mind. This is what we want to do. Now, also there's an expression in the Bible. Ask, and it will be given unto you. And that's what you have to keep doing. You have to keep asking till you get what you want. Never, 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 never give up. Just keep asking for what you want. See what you want. And know that you can have it. There is nothing holding you back from that. You only thing that's holding you back from that is your own beliefs that it cannot be done. All beliefs can be changed, but beliefs are like addiction. They don't leave easily. They're like an addiction. You're addicted to what you believe in. Because the mind wants to tell you, well, now I have that figured out. I don't have to think about that anymore. I believe that now. Well, I can go on to the next thing. Check your mind. Get rid of the things that are holding you back. And this universe will respond to you. Because it's a give and take always. You are not isolated here. You are not away from the universe or from this thing that we call God. Where is God? As close as your nostrils. As close as your nostrils. God is everywhere. You don't have to go looking for God. Do you think God dwells in these churches and so forth? Oh, I don't think so. Not the ones I've been to. So, look at those different things. Keep this mind of yours working. Keep that visualization. You were given wonderful things. The mind, you see. You have to realize that you always were, that you always will be, and that you are floating around the universe as pure consciousness, separated from other consciousnesses, but connected at the same time. You see? What most people don't realize is that this thing, we're in God, like a wave in an ocean. But most people think that they're a little eddy over here someplace just spinning around, but they're not connected to anything. We're completely connected all the time. That's where our power comes from. That's where our life comes from. You think we generated this life on our own? No. But now that we are here, we can do something about it. We can create, and some people say co-create, it doesn't matter. But we can take responsibility now. So the new way to look at life is to know, oh, I'm the one that decided to come here. I'm the one that decided to pick my parents. So now I can give up all that horse manure of what my parents did to me. That ought to save 20 years and a lot of money and therapists right there. You get rid of that idea, you see, because that's not. You cannot look from a birth certificate to a death certificate and say that's life. You were before the birth certificate and you'll be after the death certificate. So you say, aha, this is how powerful I am. I wanted to learn something new about myself. So I incarnated here on this planet to learn something. Does anyone know what you think we're here to learn? You know the answer.
Oh, I'm worthy, I'm deserving, and I'm completely lovable.
That is what you're here to know. You're here to know love. You're here to know that you're completely love. And you're here to teach only love. But we get distracted and we think we're here for some other reason. We're not here for any other reason than that. How many people here, since you've been coming, how many people's lives have gotten better and better and better every time you're able to love and like yourself more and more and more? works every time. So if that works and you know that, then you know how powerful you are. Now you can go and use this mind to bring stuff into your life and to be able to give up all that other baloney that you'll never figure out anyway. When I say baloney, that means all the people who think that their mother potty trained them too soon, and that's the way they are, you know. That's the way they are. I got over that idea of potty training. I never had the idea of potty training, but I heard about the idea of potty training. But I, knowing my mother, I was probably potty trained in 3 days. She hated a mess, you know. But I was traveling once with my friend Doug the Baptist. And we were in Monte Carlo. And we were in a little cafe there. And there was an English woman there talking to an American woman. And you could just see the difference in the culture and the difference in the thinking. First of all, the American woman says, "Oh, let me show you my grandchildren." She pulls out a wallet, one of those cascade down to the ground. The English woman, she says to the English woman, "Now, what are the names of your grandchildren?" She said, "The names of my grandchildren." She looks at her and says, "What are their names?" Anyway, this conversation went on. It was delightful. So, the American woman says, "You know, my daughter is in therapy. And the therapist says that it's my fault because I potty trained her too soon." The English woman had a lorgnette. Do you know what they are? The glasses on a stick. She picked that up, she looked at the American woman, and she said, sounds like an American idea to me. They don't have that in Europe. They don't have that in Europe. But we place a great deal on it. You see, we have to learn to go through life differently. We have to see life anew. We have to not buy into all this contraptions that they have. Oh, I'm back to the eye. So the woman says to me on the way out, "Now, when you get home, you're going to get a headache. You can take Tylenol, but don't take aspirin." I looked at her. I said, "I never have headaches. I've never had a headache. I don't get headaches." She goes, "Well, just think. I never buy Tylenol. I don't have aspirin in my house at all. People who come to my house and say, 'I have a headache, to have an aspirin.' I say, 'No, I don't have aspirin.' 'You don't have aspirin? Everyone has an aspirin.' Well, you see, what I do, as soon as I move into some place and people have been to my home can bear this out, I don't have a medicine cabinet. It's the first damn thing I get rid of. I rip it right out of the wall. They're easy to rip out, you know. They're only on with 4 screws. Just take them out. There's a hole there, and I put a great big mirror in front of it. I leave the hole. Why would I look every morning, get up and look at the medicine cabinet? For my mind is, wonder what medicine I should take today. Don't have a medicine cabinet. Just get rid of it. That's thinking differently. Thinking, and did you have something to say?
No.
Oh, that's learning to think differently. You see, we all want all these wonderful things to come into our lives, but they're not going to come into your life if you're out there listening to what the world is telling you. You see, the world is always going to be dooming and glooming. We don't want to doom and gloom things. We want to know that life is wonderful, that we're having a wonderful time here. So if we go back to the premise that we picked to come here, we picked our parents, and I know a lot of people say, well, if that's true, I must have been in a hurry. But you did pick your parents, and you learned something from them. Both of my parents are gone now, and every day I figure out something that they did nice for me. I figure something nice that they did for me. I never figure out what they didn't do for me. Where will that get me? It will get you nowhere. Keep your mind focused on what you want. Love what you want, and it will multiply for you. Attention is the greatest gift that you can give anything or anybody. You see, when I'm up here talking and you give me your attention, that's the best gift you can give me. It's the best gift you can give anyone, to pay attention to them, to give them your attention. Okay? So now you're here on this plane of action, and you have bought in to what you think the world is, to what you think human beings are, because you look around and you see everyone doing all this stuff, and you say, well, that's the way human beings must behave. I wonder if that's the way human beings are supposed to behave. You see, it's conditioning. All conditioning. So we change our conditioning. So if you know that you came here, and that you, even though you had earthly parents, you only came through Gabran, I think. Does anyone know Gabran the prophet? You come through your parents. You just use them as the gateway, as the door to enter this plane of action. That's all that you do. But you do love your parents. You do get attached to your parents. And I'm telling everyone, you must love your parents because they are part of you. They're part of the flesh and blood. So learn to love them regardless. Just forgive them. As I read years ago, and it cleared me immediately, was, whatever your parents do to you, do not take it personally. They would have done it to anyone. You know, we think, well, we're so special, they picked me out to do that. No, they'd have done it to anyone, you know. So give that idea up. So now that you know that you have that power, that you came here and so forth with that power, that you don't have to live up to that, to remember when Jesus, one of the master teachers, was in the temple, and I think he was 12 at the time, because I was 13. He said, somebody came to him and said, your parents are outside. And he said, who calls themselves my parents? Who calls themselves my parents? Do you see what that means? He knew right away that, yes, he had parents. But he had much more. Much more before those parents. And he's going to have much more after those parents. And it doesn't mean that we dishonor the parent. But we have to see ourselves as more. We have to see ourselves as powerful. The world wants to tell you that you are a victim. Poor, pitiful me. Now, who wants to walk around feeling like a victim and poor, pitiful me? You're not a victim. Not if you change your mind and realize, oh, I'm the one who came here. I'm the one that's causing these circumstances. I'm the one that can change these circumstances. And I know how to change them. I can use my mind to do that. I can use my thoughts to do that. And I can certainly use visualization to do that. Faith, I think I mentioned this before. You must have faith. That's in the King James Version of the Bible. But I think in the original Aramaic, that word faith was really imagination. You must have imagination. Now, we all have imagination. We all understand the word imagination, do we not? But how many people say to me, how do you have faith, Dallas? I don't understand faith. How do you build faith? How do you do this? How do you do that? Faith is one of those things that it's hard to explain. Imagination's not hard to explain at all. We all have it, and we all have it to what happened to us with our imagination. Maybe the people in the industry have more and are using it more. But most of us were told, no, by the world, you cannot do that. You cannot have that imagination, you see. Otherwise, these flights of fancy and so forth are going to get you into trouble. I say, go ahead and have a flight of fancy, you see. And that happens to be a reality, by the way. We won't go into that right now. But there are many realities. We're just in one of them right now. But we can move in and out of realities. We won't go there either. So, learn to see yourself as different than you've thought of yourself before. As you thought of yourself as a human being. Yes, you are human. But think of yourself as spirit. Think of yourself as pure consciousness. Pure consciousness that decided to pick up a body. Because why? You can't see my consciousness, can you? You're assuming that I have one. But you can't see it. So in order to express and so forth on this plane of action, we became human. Now when we leave this plane of action, get rid of these bodies, our consciousness is still there. And when you are in pure consciousness, you will see all the other consciousnesses. And you will be able to communicate with them. And these things that we call consciousness remain together throughout eternity. Remain together throughout eternity. Does anyone know what eternity is? We have a concept of that, don't we? Eternity is something that goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. But where is eternity located?
Now.
Pardon?
Now.
Yes. Only in the now. This very moment is eternity. Think of that and use your imagination at the same time. And you will not only feel eternity, you'll see eternity. It is nothing outside of you. Now I'll make another one. And I say this all the time. There is nothing outside of you. There is nothing outside of you. That would be an impossibility. If there's something outside of you, what would that cause? Separation. It would cause separation. How many people here are familiar with a movie and a book? And I'm almost sure it was called Dune. The desert people and all. And they were after that spice, remember? And they wanted to go to a different planet, didn't they? But they never went anywhere. Remember, they just got in to that thing, and then they were there. Why is that? Because there's no place to go, people. There's no place to go. Why is there no place to go? You know it. Just repeat your other answer.
No, is all there is.
There's no place to go. Now, isn't that wonderful? So we don't have to run around crazy and something. So try to find a new way to look at life. Try to find a new way to look at your life. And don't buy in to what the world is telling you. And don't repeat what your parents did. Don't repeat what your neighbor's doing. And don't repeat what the television set is telling you to do. You know, that this is the way humans act, and you have to be this way, you have to be that way. And we say, oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that looks good to me. I'll do it. Don't do it. Use your own mind. Become something different. Become the wonderful, powerful person that you really are by using your thoughts, by using your mind to think the right thoughts and correct your mind when it's thinking something that you don't want to think. The whole wonderful thing is that you can think anything you want. You can pick and choose what you want to think. And you can change your thinking at any time. Let's say it's a small challenge. See, the word hard doesn't... You see what it does, the mind does to that? Don't let your mind do that to you. So, we get a new way to look at life. We get a new way to look at ourselves. And we see ourselves as the light of the world. We see ourselves as the light of the world. That's all we are anyway, you know, is pure light. We've just slowed it down so we can see each other. That's all that is. And I think that's absolutely wonderful. And I think you people are wonderful. I know I'm wonderful. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming tonight. There's a basket for donations for Dallas class. There's a sign-in sheet if you want to sign in. I have CDs, thanks to Jeff, from the last few weeks. So if anybody wants a copy of the CD, they're $5 for each CD for any of the past classes. And Dallas is available for private sessions and hypnotherapy. And thanks all for coming.
And I have red envelopes for people.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And a medal for one brother, too?
Yes. Okay. I have tons of red envelopes. So, who needs a red envelope?
I do.
I need two here.
Two?
Do you need one, Rhoda?
Yeah. I like that red envelope. It's cool.
Different.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Yeah.
Where's your friend?
Sean moved to
Oh, with the guy and it's actually very good. I mean, it's helpful. I've just got a lot of action. I just got to put it like this. You have to put it in the action, like everything else.
How you play.
But yeah, but I've been very blessed. Thank you.
So, what's the red envelope?
Oh,
you were here like.
Yeah, give me a.